Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome to a very special live edition of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your host for this evening. My name is Derek. I am here with a very special guest. You may know him as Crit Hit the Giant on social media. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I really want to hit this applause button and see what happens.
Ooh, that's good.
Brandon's like, no, please don't. I don't know. I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I am also trying really hard not to hit the buttons that we were told not to press.
Yeah.
They are bright and flashy, and there are lights, and it's hard not to do it.
They look like a lot of fun. Yeah.
Also, we have a very special guest here. We have Ryan from Rubber City Cosplay.
Hello.
It is wonderful.
Coming in hot. Ooh, sorry.
Coming in hot. Yeah, they came in loud. I feel like I'm quieter than everybody else. I need to lean in, get a little more sultry.
Derek, Sean, thank you so much for having me on. This is awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully some people will cycle in here.
Yeah.
Because for those of you that are listening when we put this recording up later on, it is just us.
Woo!
Brandon's out there.
I'm having a good time. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me.
Brandon's leaving.
Yeah, I know.
He was like,
sad face. So, Ryan, we wanted to talk to you about cosplay.
Yeah.
So, cosplay is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And for those listening, what are you cosplayed as right now?
So, right now, I am dressed up as Steve the Pirate.
Gar.
From Dodgeball, a true underdog story. It's one of my favorite movies. It's one of my favorite cosplays to wear. It's super easy. It's the average Joe's uniform, the yellow pirate wig on. I usually have a gold tooth, but
nice.
I took it out because I just ate and it's the end of the day, but I'll usually start my day off with a gold tooth insert and everything. It's one of my favorite ones to do because of the simplicity of it. It's easy, but also just because everybody recognizes it from the movie.
Yeah, I've been around you a couple of times today, and the amount of people that have just said Gar to you.
Gar.
I was one of them. That's how I introduced myself.
Everybody has their own saying from the movie, right? Some people go, we have a pirate on our team?
What?
Or some of them would be like, I need your help with my buried treasure. Everyone has a different one, so it's one of my favorite because it's like the most recognizable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it is awesome.
Thank you. It's a great cosplay.
I was very impressed. So... ask a couple other questions.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing cosplay?
Oh, it's a great story.
It's the easy one.
It's a great story. All right, here we go. So I used to be in a comic book club in Akron. So we're called Rubber City Cosplay because we are from Akron, Ohio, the rubber city capital of the world. Shout out to Goodyear, Firestone, Bridgestone. That's where tires were made for a century, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we... started, actually, myself as a volunteer for Akron Comic Con. So it's our local comic convention, small, very comic book focused. And I just was going because I was part of a comic book club that had a booth there. So I went, and one of the other members were like, you guys should dress up. And I went, dress? What are you talking? What do you mean? It's not Halloween. What are you talking about? And... you know, looking it up, I was like, cosplay? Okay. So my very first cosplay at that convention or ever was Black Mask from DC Comics with Batman.
Yeah.
And it was super easy. It's just a suit. And I went to the Halloween store and bought like a regular skeleton mask and I just painted it black.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. And people knew who I was. And my buddy dressed up as the Riddler. And that's how I got started. Like, literally fell into it just because I was there to volunteer for an event. And then what was great about it was I have a really good relationship with the people from Akron Comic Con. We would go out to other events. We'd go out to local baseball games, other comic book conventions, basketball games, whatever, right? And we would promote the Akron Comic Con by going to these events and dressing up. So now I very quickly was just getting more and more costumes and just going to more and more events. And we did that for about, I don't know, like maybe 3-4 years. And it got to the point where the organizers of Akron Comic Con was like, yeah, we don't have to do this anymore. We're selling enough tickets, right? Mm-hmm. And I had built up enough connections and communications through all these different events that I had gone to, all these different organizers, that the Akron Comic Con people blessed Rubber City Cosplay with our first banner, with our backdrop banner, mm-hmm. and said, go do you. So that's how Rubber City Cosplay was formed, was through this awesome volunteer relationship with Akron Comic Con that we just naturally transitioned to like what we were already doing into doing it ourselves.
That's awesome. What year did you say you started doing that?
So I have this. So recently I was featured in Akron Life magazine, which is like it was really cool. It was our local magazine in our area. Mm-hmm. And they asked for a bunch of facts. So I actually like went through and figured out everything. So we were created in July of 2015. Our first event was the Geek Fest at the Akron Public Library. And logo was created that time, but we didn't get our banner till 2016. So like we probably did it for about a year or so without an actual banner. Like we had no idea what we were doing.
Right. Like, why am I here?
But right. I was just like, this is so much fun. Give us a booth. Do you have a banner? No.
So you got started in 2015. Mm-hmm. Where is the... And you've been going to cons ever since then, right?
2012 was my first convention.
2012 was the first time. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I did it for about 3 years or so with Akron Comic Con before we formed our own organization.
Wow. So what's the farthest you've traveled? Like from Akron? Where's
probably farthest? Either Louisville or Indy, this one.
Really?
Yeah, so we are well known, and I say that not in like a boastful way, but in a very proud way, in the Northeast Ohio community, right? Uh-huh. Cleveland, Columbus, Youngstown, North Olmsted, Akron, very like in that area. We've been doing conventions since 2015.
Yeah.
Very local ones. Well, luckily, we were doing a convention in GalaxyCon in Columbus, mm-hmm. and Chris and Ryan and the amazing organizers here at PopCon came over and talked to not even me, but my volunteers who were at the booth. I was off doing something. I don't know. And got the contact information. And very naturally, the organizers of PopCon realized that we'd be a great fit. So they took us to Louisville, mm-hmm. as like a test drive to see how well we did.
Right.
We did such a great job. And again, we really appreciated getting that opportunity that they then brought us to Indy as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to working with them more and more. And these events are amazing. But yeah, those would be the two ones that we've definitely traveled to the farthest.
Awesome. That's the two that I've been to.
Yeah.
Louisville
yeah.
and Indy.
Yeah. That's it?
No, those are the two that I've seen you at.
Oh, okay. I
haven't missed you anywhere that I've been, so it worked out. So what's the goal of Rubber City Comic? Like, is it just to do cosplay and have fun, or are you trying to – do you want to bring cosplay to the masses?
Like, so our vision, whatever you want to call it, is promoting the positivity of cosplay wherever we go. Mm-hmm. And that has been core to our creation. Akron is known as a very – inventive city. It's the National Inventing Hall of Fame used to be there. It's been known as like a very forward thinking city. Mm-hmm. So making sure that positivity, inclusiveness, diversity, all of these elements that, you know, we're getting into in this day and age has been key to the creation of Rubber City Cosplay. Making sure that like we promote a safe environment for everything. So we do that through the operation of a free photo booth that mm-hmm. is absolutely free for any attendees at any events we go to, right? Mm-hmm. Families, kids, other cosplayers that, you know, you walk around at these conventions with your family and then you get home and you go, oh, dang it, we didn't get a photo of everybody
right.
together.
Right.
So that was the idea, was making sure that families and kids could get a photo. And we provide props, and we provide people dressed up in cosplays mm-hmm. to take photos with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you have a question?
No, actually, my question was, like, what Rubber City Cosplay does and all that. Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. And so you see a lot of cosplay.
Oh, so many.
Do you have a favorite?
That you've seen.
Not Ooh. That you've. I'll ask you about your favorite in a minute. But have you seen a favorite one? Somebody that you were just really impressed with, or something that was so creative that you never would have guessed that somebody would have come up with that cosplay? And I'm putting you on the spot on that.
Ooh, that's a good one. So, all right, I'm dipping into my mind palace because we've taken over 16,000 photos at our booth, right? So I'm like Sherlock Holmesing right now. I'm going through all of my things. So some of the really impressive ones are when they are like multi-leveled. So at Louisville for PopCon, there was people that, you know, and the great thing about cosplay is that it's open to anybody. I don't care if it's store-bought, if someone else made it, if you made it, if your mom made it. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the positivity of you embodying that character, right? And some people get real into it. Some people, you know, cosplay is costume play.
Right.
That's where the word comes from. So some people get real into it. And all power to you. But the one at Louisville that I remember seeing that they embodied the characters, they were in character like all day. There was a Harley and a Poison Ivy, and they were like steampunk. I think that one was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The other one was a Thranduil from The Hobbit. He was really
PopCon
cool at PopCon. It was really cool.
That was
cool.
Incredible. I could not believe the detail in that.
But probably my number one that I've ever seen was a Fern Holloway from Critical Role. Mm-hmm. And that one I actually saw at Gen Con 2022. And so Fern is a satyr in Dungeons & Dragons. You know, they have goat feet. And she had on invisible heels.
So
it was just, like, imagine just your toes are touching the ground, and then the shoe has an invisible heel built into it to make it look like she had goat feet.
That's cool.
It was awesome. And talk about commitment, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My cosplays, I try to go for, like, the easiest things. I can't imagine walking on your toes for the entire day.
Oh my gosh.
When PopCon came back after taking a break from COVID and everything for the pandemic, you could tell some people took that year to work on cosplay.
Oh yeah.
Because I went to that cosplay contest when they had it, and like there was somebody that went in there as a beginner and had the most impressive. I can't remember what it was because it was a character I wasn't familiar with.
Sure.
But he had like either engineering skills or something, because he had a lot of like steam kind of worked
That's
into
cool.
his costume and was able to do like some sort of like mechanical thing with his arm. It was really impressive for a beginner.
Yeah.
I mean, people can really get, just like what you said, they can get really simple.
Yeah.
Just to have fun and just to feel like they're being part of the character that they're portraying. Or people make it into like an actual skill and craft where they try to make it as real as in this world as possible, and it's really impressive.
It is, and I think the technology of 3D printing and resin printing and sewing machines and everything has kind of jumped in the past couple of years. Like, I went from not knowing anything about 3D printers to owning two myself, right? And I don't, like, luckily, I was a machinist for a couple of years. So, like, I have some understanding of CAD and how to run a program.
Right.
But, like, anybody can't. They're so simple. They're so easy and simple.
Yeah. Derek can do it. He does it.
Yeah.
He can do it.
I went from no idea at all to now I have two FDM printers and a resin printer. I have no knowledge of modeling, no knowledge of CAD.
So, Sean, what you're saying is if Derek can do it, anybody
can do it. Anybody
can do it, yes.
Yeah.
There we
go. If you want some motivation to start something, I was
My son keeps trying to convince me to get a 3D printer.
It's so – they're $200. You can get it.
They're so cheap.
And if you can get one – and I will sing the praises of the Ender 3 models.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They are the Honda Civics. 3D
it's,
printers.
It's almost it's your first one.
Yeah, you
it's,
can it's, and you can
that's
add
the first
on.
One I bought. You can do anything with it.
I have really one. So we have two machines. One is December, and the other one's called Frankenstein. And December is because we bought it in December, and it was brand new. But Frankenstein is legit. Frankenstein's monster. It's about three different printers built into one.
Right.
Yeah.
My Ender 3 is currently in pieces right now as I work on. Modifying, upgrading.
And they are. They're the Honda Civics. You can just keep upgrading, adding new parts to it, modifying.
Meanwhile, the Elegoo Neptune 3 Plus that I picked up a couple of months back, I've been running prints constantly. Still haven't had to level that bed again.
It's so cool.
Oh, it's so good.
And I think, Sean, you bring up that cool point of, like, that time in COVID, right, where people had, and I think it had that effect, and I think it had the opposite effect. Like for me, I stopped. Mm-hmm. I didn't pull up my hot glue gun for like 9 months.
Right.
And it took getting a 3D printer and wanting to learn a new skill that like got me back into it. Because for some people, they definitely double down and crafted away.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I know I really struggled with like finding the motivation because I was like, there's no cons. Like there's no event to look forward to.
Yeah.
And it really took me like wanting to learn that new skill to kind of get back into it.
Yeah. See for me, the pandemic is what got me into cosplay. It's one of the reasons. So there's two reasons. One is the pandemic, and I'll get back to that and explain that a little bit more. But two, I used to run a podcast with a couple of buddies of mine called The Caption Life, and we had somebody come on named Jonathan Bell.
Okay.
Who's known really well known across the country for like his photography and his cosplay. He's known as the Seattle Superman because he got really popular over there. And we had him on the show, and he was just talking to us about cosplay and like, you know, why he enjoys doing it and all the characters that he loves. His favorite, you know, obviously his favorite one is Superman and all the different takes that he does on that. But like as somebody at my age, I was just thinking like, you know, cosplay sounds interesting, but I don't know if that's something I would want to do.
Sure.
But after talking to him about it, like I have more confidence in wanting to do that. So the combination of that and then with pandemic, just like a lot of people in the country, like I got on TikTok. And there's a whole, you know, cosplay talk that's out there. And
it's
so
crazy,
I started, and I did something really simple, right? I enjoy acting like Bane from Batman.
Yeah.
So I just got the mask and I got like the top and just did a bunch of cosplay videos as Bane and did a lot of different sounds and stuff like that. It was just a lot of fun. And so that's something that I think you hit on the head. It's that for people who have been cosplaying, it was a break for a number of reasons, and everybody, you know, had to handle it different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it also provided opportunity for a lot of people to get into it as well, too, because they're looking for things to do and to fill up their time and kind of, you know, distract themselves from the reality that we're in at that time. And so I know for me, it was like a huge impact in getting into cosplay was because of that.
Derek, are you cosplaying?
Not this weekend. I did for the first time in Louisville.
What'd
actually,
you do?
Though. I was Fat Thor from Endgame.
I remember that.
Good.
Yes, I remember.
It was really good.
It's really easy when a movie just gift wraps a character for you. Like I bought a wig.
It was made for me.
It was. I 3D printed a hammer because the whole thing was like I don't have time to make Stormbreaker. I decided pretty last minute to do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to just walk around because then I just look like the dude from Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
people don't know, right? And so I was like, I got to have something. You know what? Thor had Mjolnir for a little bit in Endgame. Mm-hmm. I'll print Mjolnir. That beautiful new 3D printer had it done in a day.
Yep.
Ready to go.
That's so cool.
And I had so much fun with it. Yeah. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, but I've just this year I've gotten to actually start going to cons, like for real. And I've never had an opportunity to do it before. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, there's the fear of, you know, are you going to look ridiculous?
Yeah.
All the little nervousness that comes. But the second that you walk in and somebody says, oh, man, that's an awesome costume.
That's the best feeling
in great
the world.
Thor, it's amazing. It changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't bring my Thor cosplay this weekend because, you know, I wanted to be doing some other things.
Sure,
it's hard to do in cosplay.
And I get that, too.
Yeah.
Like, I almost didn't wear a cosplay today. And then I went, oh, no, I have the podcast where I'm going to be talking about cosplay. I better go in cosplay. But, like, I totally get, like, sometimes I just want to throw on a T-shirt and just go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I think for us, like, having the booth, like, there is a sense of responsibility to cosplay. But we did go to a convention out by us, and it was just a one-day convention at the local fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And my fiancé was like, are we going to dress up? And I went, you know what? No. And it was the first time we hadn't cosplayed at a convention in probably 6 years.
Yeah.
And it was nice
just
to walk around. So I think, having the confidence, having someone look at you and go, whoa, I like, yar, you look great. But I think the other thing about it is the community is so inviting, right? I think it's the only community. That's not true. It's not the only. It's one of the communities where you can dress up and look like a fool in whatever.
Right.
And someone will say you look awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, and no matter what you're cosplaying
that's
fun. And also, also the other thing I've noticed is no matter what you're cosplaying as, somebody at the con is going to know what you are.
Oh, yeah.
Because there have been some that I've seen. Like, we were at C2E2, like I mentioned to you earlier, and, man, there were a lot of cos. I had no idea. And I watched people walk past
that
our booth and be like, oh, can I get a picture with you?
The hall just in front of C2E2 is just cosplay central. We got to go a couple years ago, and it's just people just wait there for you to take their photo.
Yeah. Right.
And they know. And that's great. And, like, they're there. I'm here to show off my cosplay for the next 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand in one spot and have 200 photos taken of me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and same thing around here, too, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, I think for us, like, we talked about how we're familiar with anime, but we're not, like, that familiar with it. And so there's obviously, like, anime cosplay that we're like, oh, we don't know what that is, but it still looks cool. It still looks great. And somebody recognized who they were, you know? And so you're right. It's like there's a lot of cosplays that people can go with, and somebody's going to recognize them
and know
who they are.
One of my favorite cosplays I've done that I had that exact reaction was... Okay, do you remember a couple of years ago the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials? Lil Sweet.
Oh yeah, Lil Sweet.
I did that character. Okay. And it was Lil Sweet just walking around ready. And I first made it and I went, no one's gonna know who I am. And I found an old Red Bull cooler and I painted it to look like a Diet Dr. Pepper can and filled it then with Diet Dr. Pepper, walked around con, and every person that recognized me, Lil Sweet, I'm Lil Sweet, and I'd run over and I'd give him a Diet Dr. Pepper, right? A cold Diet Dr. Pepper. And people went nuts.
Yeah.
Because it was a character they hadn't really seen before. It was and it was recognizable. Everyone's seen those that, because I think it was even a Super Bowl commercial was one of those. Like, everyone had seen that or knew about it. And it was, again, someone recognized it. And I was like, perfect. That's job done.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about it is just watching people come up with the most random character to cosplay as.
You know who we saw in Louisville that I thought was really interesting that I would never guess a million years like someone would come up with that is the Pepsi-Lorian.
Pepsi-Lorian.
Oh, yeah, the Pepsi-Lorian.
Yeah. That is brilliant. I don't know what made him decide to do that. But that was really impressive and looked really good. Yeah, it's just like I never would have thought. I've seen a lot of mashups between like different fandoms and stuff like that, but I've never seen someone take like something like Pepsi and Mandalorian.
Cool.
Yeah. But it looks so great. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mandalorian seemed like they have a lot of fun with the mashups. One of my favorite ones that I've seen was at C2E2, and it was Beach Dad Mando.
That's cool.
Where it was just the Mandalorian helmet. He had Grogu on like a baby Bjorn.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And the Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Awesome.
And he was just strolling through the con.
I think the when it comes to having a character that has like a helmet or like a stormtrooper, like a Mandalorian, like a space marine from Warhammer, a Ghostbuster, like very recognizable, boom, you know what that's going to be, right? It's a stormtrooper.
Right.
I think those are the ones where you can have the most fun with mashups because you already have this base of, I'm a stormtrooper, but I'm a...
Add that twist there.
Exactly. Right, like one of the ones I saw was Boba Fett. Boba. Like Boba T.
Boba T.
It
was Boba Fett, and he was covered in boba, and he had a big straw coming off his helmet, and it was Boba Fett. And it was awesome. It was such a cool mashup.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I mentioned it earlier, and I didn't get to ask you about it yet, but do you have a favorite cosplay that you do?
Okay, so I have a couple.
Okay.
So one of my favorite ones I get to do is with my best friend, and... long story short, this dude and I, we lived together for years. We did theater together. He's now my best man at my wedding, like one of my best friends. We have matching tattoos. Like, it's great. We did musical theater together, and we played Cogsworth and Lumiere.
Oh, nice.
I was Lumiere, and he was Cogsworth. And if you know my friend Cody, you know that that is our relationship. Like, to a T, I am Lumiere and he is Cogsworth.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so we did the theater show and it was awesome. And then the day I moved out and bought my first house. We went and got matching tattoos. And it was after we did the show that we looked at each other, you know, after we had worn these costumes for the past, you know, couple weeks on stage. Mm-hmm. And we went, we need to make these. We need to make these. And for the musical theater show, they gave me these hands for Lumiere, and I didn't like them. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like how they worked. So I went ahead and made my own Lumiere hands.
Oh, wow.
Built with these Halloween fans, so you could turn them on and off, right?
Yeah.
And they were a hit. And I had them strapped to my wrists so I could still use my hands. And there was little switches inside, and they were awesome. One of my favorite ones. And so we made our costumes, and we wore them to, like, C2E2, and we wore them to, like, Cleveland Wizard World at the time, and they were a huge hit. And that one's probably my favorite when it comes to, like, recognizable and people know it.
Right.
But I would have to say that probably, like, my favorite one that I've ever done would probably be, either Lil Sweet from the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials. Or the other one that I would say is my Star-Lord. Again, you find that character that perfectly exemplifies who you are.
Right.
And if I was a superhero, I would be Star-Lord. I wouldn't be any of the other ones. I'd be Star-Lord. So for that one, I've built about five different versions of Star-Lord. I built Volume 1 movie from the Marvel movie. I built Avengers Academy, which is basically Teenage Star-Lord.
Right.
I built the Fortnite version where he has a vest.
Nice.
And then I built the one from the Square Enix game, or was that Square Enix?
I think so. Are you talking about the one that came out last year?
Yes.
The
Guardians, the Guardians video
Square
game.
Enix, yeah, I think you're right.
And for that one, I really pulled out all the stops.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, total side note. I live right across from a school, and I had just moved into this house, so I didn't have, it was my second house, and I didn't have curtains. And I was building Star-Lord in my living room. I just put out like a folding table, and I was building him because I didn't have my craft area ready. And I have a bunch of PVC pipe and stuff. And my fiance walks in and goes, "It looks like you're building a bomb." She goes, "You need to stop that." Okay. But so for that one, I totally built him back from the ground up with the rocket boosters. And one of my favorite things, and I'll be wearing him tomorrow here at the con, is I 3D printed a Walkman Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, nice.
So
I
built a Walkman from the movie. Because if you go to buy those on eBay, they're about $800.
Right.
At the time.
For a dead technology.
Yes. So I printed it out, and then I built a Walkman. I built a Bluetooth speaker inside of it so that when I'm walking around in the convention, I can play music.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's probably one of my favorites to do just because, again, it gives you the excuse to just dance all day, right?
Yeah.
Challenge people to dance offs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably my favorite one to do.
That's awesome. Sean, do you have a favorite? You've done a handful.
I've only done two, I think.
Has it only been two?
I think just two. Bane and Kingpin. And
Yeah.
I mean, Kingpin is like...
You did that one with your son, right?
Yeah. That was the one we did in Louisville.
That
like,
was
that's
cool.
That's like the one he loves to do because he can go as Spider-Man.
Yep.
And everybody knows that Spider-Man and Kingpin are...
That's so cool.
Yeah, so he loves to do like some of those theming type of things when we try to do it together. And we try to do as much as possible, but he'll want to dress up as a character. I'm like... I don't have anything that I could really go as that would like make sense for me, but but I think I've only done Bane and Kingpin. I have stuff to make a Mr. Freeze cosplay, which is going to be kind of like a creative twist on it because the hardest thing for me to figure out is like the glass casing around the head, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So I know I talked to one guy who actually has been to PopCon, and if you've gone on their website, you've probably seen his picture up on there. I actually talked to him about it. I was like, "Where did you get that?" And he's like, "Oh, I had to like special order it from England."
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm just like that right there. I'm like, I'm not going to pay that much to get something from England, you know? So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get like some like drainage pipe, you know, like from a vacuum and stuff like that, and connect it to like a hazmat mask.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll
and make
work.
That work.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, it's going to be a twist on it. It's going to be kind of like from New 52 DC Comics a little bit, and so that's what I'm going to go with. But I have that. At some point, I would love to do a Thanos one. and Grog from Critical Role.
Yeah,
Machina.
That would be cool.
The thing is, like, I was just telling Derek about this. I'm never going to be muscular enough to, like, go shirtless, so I need to figure out, like, how...
I think you could do, like a leather vest or something.
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
And that's the other cool thing about cosplay and all that is that it conforms to body types, right?
Right.
So some people can go all out and look exactly spot on like the character in
right.
whatever state of dress that they may
fat,
be in.
Fat Thor, right
exactly.
here. Worked yeah. perfect.
And some people... You may not be there yet, and that is totally fine. I myself, people tell me I should do a Junkrat from Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love that idea, but I don't feel comfortable going shirtless, and I have never done
right.
a shirtless cosplay, and that is just a personal thing. And I think that some people can do it. They rock it. They look great.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, and I say this with all love, don't look like the character. And might be, you know, overweight, might be, you know, not exactly the same body type, but they still look
right.
amazing. And
yeah.
that, and again, it comes from, like, it doesn't, and that's what RCC is all about. It's about the positivity.
Right.
Right.
I don't care if you don't exactly fit to the body type of a certain character.
Right.
If you're there rocking it, you look great to
right.
me.
Right.
Because
yeah.
it doesn't matter. And it's not about, like, judging or shaming, obviously, like, that's frowned upon. And I think you're just making sure that when you go to a Comic-Con, if you have at least that one person, right,
mm-hmm.
just like you said, Derek, if you have that one person that goes, you look awesome,
yep.
I think that's enough.
Yep.
I think that's enough to get me – maybe that's enough to get me shirtless. I don't know. I don't know yet.
I'm going to clip that out and give that to your fiance.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. But with that, Sean, I think – that's the other cool thing about, like you're saying, with the leather vest or with this idea for
right.
Mr. Freeze, is that as long as you hit some of the marks, right, you paint yourself blue, you have some type of mask on, maybe you have a backpack on,
right.
you have those red goggles, boom, they're going to
yeah.
know you're Mr. Freeze.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with Grog is this, like, he's always shirtless, so it's
mm-hmm.
like, coming up with something that I could wear on top and, like, people who
yeah.
are, you know, familiar with Critical Role would recognize that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if I do the body paint and get the, like, the stripes and stuff and everything
yeah.
else, like, people will pick up on
yeah.
it and everything. But it's just you have to come up with something creative if there's nothing else that kind of been established in that world,
and
right?
And I think that is – I'm a guy, right? So most superheroes are – male superheroes are fully clothed.
Uh-huh.
I've done gender bends
mm-hmm.
of female superheroes, right?
Right.
And you look at what their costume is, and this is a whole other conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But just the discrepancy between the two is ridiculous. But,
right.
like, I did Katana
mm-hmm.
from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I love that character. Mike Barr, the creator, is a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
He's from Akron.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah.
That's awesome.
To see him go from creating that character to that character being used in one of the Batman animated TV shows to then
mm-hmm.
being in the movies was like, it was really cool to be there with him to see that.
Right.
So I cosplayed as Katana, and in the movie, she is belly shirt, super tight pants, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So
right.
for me, it was a gender bend version. It was a full shirt, you know, more baggy-ish pants.
Right.
But I think that I still hit those marks of like, oh, I recognize what that character is.
Right.
And obviously it may not be movie accurate, but it was still a cosplay that I liked, and I feel like I could really, like, exemplify it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many that I would love to do.
That do
just,
it.
I will. The one that I've talked about a lot.
Baby Yoda?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I don't have the ears. I gotta get the ears. Well, the one that I've talked with him the most about.
The tallest Baby Yoda you've
yeah.
ever seen.
Just
people,
a giant Baby Yoda.
People would be
right
like,
through
oh
the con.
You have to do that shuffle he
do
does,
the magic
too.
Thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that little,
thing.
Yeah. little baby shuffle he does.
Not just the shuffle, but the little, like,
the waddle. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, the little waddle back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to do that.
And you have to go to, like, a trampoline park and
do his flips. Do the jumps, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now I lost my train of thought thinking about a Baby Yoda cosplay. No, but the one I've talked to him about, I would love to do Red Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's a cool one.
Because Red Guardian's one of those ones that if you look at the comic book Red Guardian, I would never do the comic book Red Hardy. But all of a sudden, it's David Harbour.
Yep.
And he's a big dude with a beard.
Yep.
And I can do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on my to-do list for next year.
That's
I will have one of those done for next year for sure.
And especially, like, with his movie, he's in the... they announced it.
Thunderbolts?
That one.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he'll be in Thunderbolts.
And... First off, I love David Harbour.
Yeah,
I think he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was great in Black Widow.
Yeah.
And
Black Widow, Stranger Things,
Hellboy.
What's the Santa one?
I think he was good in Hellboy, too.
Violent Night.
Violent Night.
Yeah, he was good in Violent Night. He was great.
Oh, my God.
Santa, right?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is that, like, Santa can be a little corny in the movies and everything, right? Like, he, like, nails it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway,
And that leads to, like, I want to do a Hellboy.
Right.
I want to do a Hellboy. That means I got to paint myself red. Yep. You can't really get around that one, right? Like, there's some, like, again, you hit those staples. So, Hellboy, I've seen ones where they're straight from the movie, straight from the comics, but paint yourself red, you have the shaved down horns, and you have a big hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're Hellboy.
Yeah.
Right.
You're Hellboy.
Yeah, I was really close to doing Beast while I'm here.
Oh yeah.
Because Beast is my favorite X-Men. You could do like the X-Men 3. I could wear shirt, tie, suspenders, just hands and feet.
That's such a cool idea.
Like hands and face. However, I didn't want to ruin everything that I own with the blue
So you have makeup. To be careful. So I have my volunteers will sometimes, you know, to carpool. They'll come to my place first, and then we'll ride together to a convention.
Right.
And one of my volunteers did Persephone from, it's a webcomic. But anyways, the character's pink.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Character is pink.
Yeah.
My bathroom was covered in pink paint.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, For the neck and the face, like, I understand that, but get gloves. So that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You find gloves that match
the
color of what you're looking for. And you can paint onto the gloves, like, acrylic paint that's going to stay on there or airbrush it.
Right.
And you can give yourself some depth so it doesn't just look like you're wearing blue gloves. Or you can put, for a Beast, you could put the fingernails on it.
Claws on there, maybe some fur on the back.
Airbrush. Yeah. You could exactly do that.
Yeah.
Was it a Lore Olympus?
Yes.
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 That the writer, I think, won a Eisner.
Oh, nice.
This year, yeah, I think for best webcomic for that.
And that's the other, oh my gosh, I could talk about this for hours. And that's the other thing is that I cosplayed someone from a Diet Dr. Pepper commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone, from a webcomic, from a movie, from a TV show, from a video game, from pop culture. I can't tell you how many KFC people I've seen walking around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what's so – and it's – you can just do anything. And I've seen people, like, even take it a step further. There's a guy on TikTok I follow. I apologize. I don't remember his name. But he cosplays weird side characters from Disney. And, like
– oh, my gosh. That's great.
The doorknob from Alice in Wonderland. Right? And you would never know.
Yeah.
Obviously, he makes a TikTok about it, and it's funny. But, like, that's what I mean. Literally anything. And that's what's so great about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the potential is there. That's what I'm so excited about to get into this world, is just the potential. Like, I was trying to come up with something for Louisville before I did the Fat Thor.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Sean about it. I was like, he was throwing out ideas left and right. And I was just like, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. And then finally I've settled on the easiest one, so that's...
When people always ask me, like, how do you get into it?
That was literally going to be my next question.
Boom, I read your mind.
You read my mind. You could be one of the magic acts.
I can do... I worked in a... during COVID, I worked in a youth respite house for troubled teens, right? And I'll tell you what, nothing is more impressive to, like... inner city kids than a 30-year-old white guy doing magic. I tell you what, they loved it. They thought it was hilarious. So I did. That was my COVID project, was to learn close-up magic. And I can do a little bit. So people say I should do a rogue. Or no, a gambit.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so getting into it. Sorry, side tangent. To get into it, right? Start small.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go for Warhammer Space Marine for your first person.
Right.
Just don't do it. You're gonna hate it.
Right.
And you're gonna learn along the way.
Right.
And that's the other thing. Start small. Start at ones where they are more closet cosplays. They right. are your Steve the Pirates. They are your Daryl from The Walking Dead. They mm-hmm. are like, they're just clothes, right? Right. And then move into learning skills, learn into how to sew, learn how to fabricate materials, learn mm-hmm. how to paint, learn how to 3D print, and like build up those skills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the other thing, and I think the most important rule, guideline of cosplay is pick a character you like.
Right.
Don't say, I'm going to cosplay as Shredder from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because he looks cool.
Right.
And you don't like the character. You can like how he looks, and if that's your motivation, fine.
Right.
But if you don't at least like the character, and this is why. This is why I tell everybody this, is that I did not grow up with Nintendo. I was a PS1 guy growing up. Mm-hmm. So I never had Zelda, and I never played any of the games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Breath of the Wild came out, mm-hmm. and I played it. And it was fine. Whatever. It's a different conversation. But someone was like, you should do a Link cosplay. And they were like, do it, Ryan. Do it. Do it. Do it. And I was like, I don't like this character. Mm-hmm. And they're like, just do it. And I went, fine. Shut up, Mom. So I did. And it was so accurate, right? I made the shield. I made the shield be able to attach to my back. I made the master sword. I did this. I did that. And it was great. And I hated it. Mm. I hated every step of that process.
Right.
Because it wasn't a character I liked. I wore it one time and never again.
Yeah.
And immediately gave, sold, just bartered away the pieces. Because right. It wasn't a character I truly liked. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's not to say that, like, you can't find a character that looks sweet and you like how the character looks. That's fine. Right. You can still do that. But if you don't have any inkling of liking the character, mm-hmm. you're going to hate every minute of it. You just yeah. are.
Right.
And so for me, like, again, Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball, I love the character. I love Alan Tudyk. I think he's great and everything. And so the idea to do him was, like, super easy. Like, right. why wouldn't I dress up as, like, a character that I like? Mm-hmm. So I think that's always my number one thing that I tell people is pick a character that you like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's really good advice.
And that's, like, again, I always go right back to Link. It was yeah. great. He looked awesome.
Yeah.
Hated every minute yeah. of it. Oh, right. I hated it. It was the worst.
Yeah, because who wants to spend all... Because you're... The other thing about cosplaying at a con, if you're going to be there all day, you're going to be there all day.
All day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we're a booth or a vendor, we are there all day.
Oh, wow. A Wookiee costume.
Yeah, good luck. I have a volunteer that does a Chewbacca costume, and it's so funny. His wife is his Han Solo, and she's his handler. And he has to take breaks, yeah. And yeah. just like the 501st people.
Yeah,
and anybody in a costume like that, you got to take breaks. Yeah, it's you just have to. And I think when you're a vendor and you have that ability to take space or head back right. to the hotel room, or I think it's maybe a little harder as a guest. Maybe you don't have a booth to go at. Mm. But I also think that, you know, if I had like Ryan's top five things for cosplay, right? Make sure it's a character you like. Start small. Have fun, you know, of course. Number four. And then number five would be build it to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shoes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for years, I would go to the thrift store and I'd buy old boots and I'd buy costume boots and I'd buy this and I'd buy that. And I hate it. You spend, they say don't cheap out on shoes, tires, and mattresses, right? Because you spend so much time on those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for the years, I bought costume boots for all my stuff.
Mm.
And it was the worst decision ever. So buy something or make something that's going to be comfortable. If you're going to have a character with big wings, make sure you can take the wings off.
Right.
Right? Yeah. If you're going to have a character with a big prop, make sure the prop can fold, can come apart, can do something. Because if not, or is lightweight.
Right.
Make sure that it's lightweight. Because if you're going to be carrying that around all day, you don't want it to be made out of 2x4.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We went to a Dallas Fan Expo a couple of years ago. My son went as Shang-Chi, and he wanted to have the bow staff that he had from the movie. Problem is, because we're flying there, like, we couldn't fit
exactly
the bow staff in there. So we actually got creative with it and took the bow staff and actually cut it in half and turned them into Cali sticks.
Cool.
And, like, again, like, everyone still knows who is Shang-Chi because of the costume and everything, and people commented on how he has his Cali sticks. And I got to say, like, in terms of making props and stuff like that, I actually was really proud of that one because I got some dragon scale, like, material from Joann Fabrics and just kind of glued it onto the stick and spray painted red, and it looked really good.
Yeah.
But, like, people comment on, like, how it's really cool that it was Cali sticks and everything.
That's
but,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, thinking about the traveling part of it, like, being able to break it down and, and actually get it into where you need to go.
Yep.
It's, like, a huge puzzle that you have to work with when you're traveling.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, it's, like, as long as you hit enough points of the cosplay, people are gonna know what you are.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't wear Crocs when I was Fat Thor.
Not a chance.
Not happening.
No way.
I'm walking around all day in Crocs.
What'd you do? Right. Slippers?
No, I wore tennis shoes. Nobody even noticed.
Boom.
Nobody was looking at my feet.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the wig and everything. We're good. Nobody looked at my feet.
Some people are a glutton for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like that Fern cosplayer is in those hidden heels, right? The secret heels. Do you, like, you do you, boo. She looked great. She looked awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I run around at cons, right?
Yeah.
I'm helping with the costume contest on Saturday, then with the kids' costume contest on Sunday. So, like, I know I'm going to be running around. So, specifically for this convention, for today, I got my Steve the Pirate with inserts in my boots.
Mm-hmm.
For tomorrow is Star-Lord with real boots that are, like, comfy. And then Sunday, I'm doing Bugs Bunny from Space Jam, and again, tennis shoes.
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's just, I know for me, I'm going to be running around the whole time.
Right.
It'd be different if I was, like, attending, and I could go back to the hotel room, or I could sit down and take a hot minute, but, like, I know I'm not going to get that chance at all.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we are just about at our time, so I wanted to give you a second to kind of let everybody know what you're doing this weekend, where can they find you. You know, your schedule, all that kind of stuff, any kind of social media if they want to follow you.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity. You can find me at Rubber City Cosplay on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We are, again, based out of Akron, Ohio. We have all of our events and stuff that we're going to listed on our social media stuff. For this weekend, again, I'm helping tomorrow with the costume contest. The other judges will be Mary Mary Cosplay and Perler Tricks, two good friends of mine. It's crazy. That's the other cool thing about cosplay is that you make really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Mary. And so tomorrow the pre-judging starts in the morning, and then it's 6:30 at the main stage.
Right.
Now, there is an after party. I don't have the details on me, but they told me to really promote that, the after party that everybody will be going to.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, that's... Brandon says, go to the after party.
Brandon says it, you do it.
Yeah.
And then... and then on Sunday, we will be running the kids' costume contest. So
cool.
You can sign up at the Rubber City Cosplay booth, and the contest is from 2 to 3... and it'll be at the mini main stage. And
that's really cool, too. The kids
They have a great time.
Yeah, we went last year, and it was really cool to see the kids.
They had that's the other thing. Like, I'm an actor. I do improv comedy. So, like, put a mic, as you can see, put a mic in my hand. I have no problem just talking into it.
Right.
And that's the other cool thing that Rubber City has kind of formed, morphed into, like, just the free photo booth. Now we run costume contests. Now we do panels. Now we do moderation. Now we do this.
Mm-hmm.
And just slowly, like, building ourselves, like, in our package and what we're able to do. But running the kids costume contest is one of my favorite things when we go to these conventions, just to see, like, just the sheer joy or terror sometimes in these kids' faces about, like, going up on a stage and helping them along with that. It's one of my favorite things to do. So that's on Sunday. So the signups will be at our booth, and if you're at the hall, we are kind of to the – we're over by door E.
Okay,
to the left of the
– on the east side of the vendor
Thank
hall.
You. Yeah. Yes. yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
we're over by door E.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on here. Thank you for those of you who can hear my voice.
Woo-hoo!
And for anybody listening on the recording, thank you so much. Follow Paperweight Entertainment anywhere on social media. For Sean and Ryan, I've been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. See you next time.
Bye.
Peace out.